as a Flattens Grugs tune. This is my first time to see one of these. I've seen these in magazines, the Bose column there. So it's like, are you in that one and I'm in that one?
I think so.
Is this a stereo thing? Okay. It's the first time going, more guitar.
Okay.
Well, so I see all you Manlin pick. I can't see who else actually holding an instrument. Who else a Manlin player in this house? Nice. Wow, that's a nice, ooh, mirror image. Well, when it comes to Manlin picking, of course, I play the Manlin and the fiddle, but I guess I think most people that play both, I think you tend to find they're fiddlers that also play the Manlin. And I think Tim O'Brien and I, we've talked about it before, we consider ourselves Manlin pickers that also play the fiddle. And I first started playing, grew up on a farm outside Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is only 55 miles north of Nashville, Tennessee. And at the time, I had no idea what an opportunity it was. I thought everybody could turn on the television and see Bill Monroe and Jim and Jesse and the Osborne Brothers and Flattens Grugs when Curly Seckler was playing Manlin with them. So my father was a farmer that loved the fiddle and the Manlin as well, but especially fiddling he loved. And growing up, there was, I was thinking about the fact that the reason you actually started calling them albums, that I'm old enough to have been in on this, because my dad would buy these fiddle albums, and an album at the time was like a photographic album, like an album of photos, and you would have 578 records in one jacket, so it was kind of like an album of photos, only it was you know, holding 10 sides, 10 tunes, 578s. So he would buy these fiddle albums, and I remember one was by Roy Acuff and the Smoky Mountain Boys. It wasn't actually Mr. Acuff playing the fiddle, it was a guy named Tommy Magnus. And so that, I would hear these when I was probably about 8 years old, becoming aware of it. And then he would buy, but the greatest ones, he'd buy records by a fiddle player named Tommy Jackson. And Tommy was basically the main guy that played the fiddle on the Grand Ole Opry, and he would back different people, as well as they'd give Tommy Jackson a fiddle tune to play for square dances and stuff. So Tommy Jackson would make these square dance records, and back then you could buy them, you had to make sure, if you wanted to buy them to play over a sound system like this for dancers at a recreation hall, you'd buy them with calls, where they would have an actual square dance caller on the record. And my dad made sure that he did not buy them with calls. He wanted to hear the fiddling. I don't want to hear square dance calling. I'll go to a square dance. I want to hear a caller. And a caller being the person that calls out the dance patterns for the dancers to do. And so I now realize that when he'd buy the Tommy Jackson fiddle albums, it would always say without calls. And on these fiddle records was a Manlin player that I loved the Manlin playing. And I'd seen Bill Monroe and heard Bill Monroe, but it was really the way this particular person played the fiddle tunes, right in unison with the fiddle. And because bluegrass Manlin players some don't always follow the same pattern that a fiddler would play with the left hand. So years later, I played on a recording session with a person who had played rhythm guitar on those records. And I was going, well, but who played the Manlin? And he said, well, Hank Garland, who was known for, he was an up-and-coming country jazz, more jazz than country. And Hank Garland was one of the most amazing young musicians going. And I said, but I didn't know he played Manlin. And this guy said, well, he really didn't, that he was such a great musician that Tommy would teach him the melody like 5 minutes before they record the record. And that's what a good musician this guy Hank Garland was. So there you go, that's my style. I grew up copying a guy that didn't really play the Manlin. But the love of the instrument has led me to follow where you would find that instrument, and that was in the world of bluegrass music. And so from there, I started, you know, trying to pay attention to all the great mandolin players at the time. Like I said, Bob Osborne, Jesse McReynolds for sure. Ronnie Reno was a great picker back then. He was still playing with his with Reno and Smiley on the mandolin, as well as later with his dad, Don Reno. Dean Webb with the Dillards, I loved his playing. John Duffy, loved John Duffy's playing. I think John Duffy had one of the greatest rhythm chops of anyone. You know, to me, I loved his rhythm chop. I tried to style myself after John. But it was really, you know, Bill Monroe is the guy that, literally could just look at you and put the fear of the Lord in you, just give you this look. And I'll never forget when I was finally starting to feel like I was kind of getting somewhere on the mandolin, but Mr. Bill kind of knew me a little more as a kid fiddler. And I would get to play on occasion with the Bluegrass Boys, but not Bill. I didn't get to play with Bill. The Bluegrass Boys would start the show off, and at that time the band was a young guy named Peter Rowan on guitar, Richard Green on fiddle, Lamar Greer on banjo, and James Monroe on bass. So they would start the show for 20 minutes, and sometimes we'd go hear them, and they would let me play a tune on the fiddle with them. Richard Green would get me up. So Bill had heard me play as a fiddler, and so now, cut to about 2 years later, Roland White's in his band, and on guitar, and Byron Berline's on fiddle. So I knew Byron from going to fiddle contests as a boy, and I met him when I was a kid. And so we're having a jam, I'm playing Roland's mandolin, which I was thrilled. I didn't have one near that good, so I was just thrilled to get to play Roland's mandolin made by Randy Wood. And I didn't know it, but Mr. Monroe was standing behind me about 5 minutes listening to this stuff. And finally, we get done with a tune, you know, we've been playing along. And this is where I finally started realizing maybe I am getting somewhere on the mandolin, when Bill Monroe looked down at me and he goes, "I want you to stay with that fiddle now." we ain't got enough good young fiddlers coming up now. Stay on that fiddle. I'm like, okay, I'm with you, baby. I got you now. We'll do a Bill Monroe tune, and a lot of people, when you think of Bill Monroe, you think of the harsh tone you get, the. Which, you know, that's one of the things I love as much as anything about his playing. But it was really when I heard him play this tune in 1965 at Roanoke, Virginia, and he and Peter, Rowan would sing a duet on it, but I've heard it played instrumentally. And David Grisman and I recorded it years later as a kind of a tribute to Bill Monroe on a record called Bluegrass Mandolin Extravaganza. There's some licks I'll play in this are exactly the way I remember Bill playing them, and obviously some of the rest of them I can't remember what he did, but sometimes I think some of his prettiest stuff is not the fast notes, but the nice slow pretty ones. So this is the old tune, Wayfaring Stranger.